In this video, I will be refuting the egregious errors of a certain supporter of the Vatican II sect named Christian Wagner on the issue of loss of office and heresy. Wagner holds various heretical positions and he commits many other errors, which we might refute in the future. He also spreads lies, but this video will mainly be focused on one issue. Just before my 2022 debate on sedevacantism with Jeff Kassman, Wagner posted, as we would later learn, that, quote, diamond will be crushed. That's what he said before the debate. He also thought that it would be an easy win for Kassman. Frankly, that reflected how blind he is. But after the debate, Wagner admitted that Kassman lost badly. He stated,
yeah, Kassman got murdered out there. Yeah.
So, yesterday, we all witnessed something horrific. We all witnessed, I think, one of the first murders to ever be live streamed and retained on YouTube. It was pretty bad.
But instead of embracing the truth that he heard in the debate, and which is contained in our material, Wagner instead called for the debate to be removed because it so thoroughly refuted their position. Wagner was afraid that it would persuade many people of the position we hold, which is the truly Catholic position.
To be perfectly honest, Frat should just take it down. This debate should not stay up.
He then posted a debate review in which he attempted to refute our position. His video contained a number of significant errors, as I will prove. Before we expose those errors, it should be noted that this individual, Christian Wagner, is a total heretic and a fake convert with no faith at all. He has only claimed to be a Catholic for a few years, but he's definitely not a Catholic. Among other things, he thinks that Antipope Francis, the notorious promoter of religious indifferentism and many other heresies, is Orthodox.
I read a lot of Pope Francis. I read a lot of his homilies, his catechesis, obviously his encyclicals. He's a great pastor, a great preacher.
On May 28th, Antipope Francis approved and participated in a pagan Buddhist prayer event in the ancient Basilica of Santa Maria in Trastevere. Antipope Francis was even, quote, blessed by the Buddhist monks during the event. In 2023, Wagner even said that he can't wait to venerate Francis, indicating that he believes that Francis could be a saint. That's astounding. Here's a clip in which he shows his so-called holy candle of Antipope Francis.
It's just a holy thing. You can call this candle of Pope Francis I have there, a sacrament.
That's what Wagner thinks about the notoriously heretical and wicked Francis, a man who teaches that every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Qualcuno schi, qualcuno musulmano, qualcuno indi, qualcuno cristiano, ma sono diversi cammini.
There are different paths.
Commits public mortal sins against the faith on a regular basis by participating in non-Catholic worship, including in a prayer to the, quote, sacred circle of spirits.
I'll open the four directions. I will whistle four times. This is a wild turkey bone I've had for about 20 years, and I use it in my ceremonies. Before I do that, I'd like for you to put your hands on your heart, each one of you. The heart can be like a talking stick, but that's where the Creator put wisdom in humans. And we often need to remind ourselves of this. It's an important gesture to connect ourselves with that wisdom. Give us access to the sacred circle of spirits so they can be with us, so we can be united and stronger together.
Teaches that it's a sin to try to convince people of the Catholic faith, and much more.
Non è lecito convincere della tua fede. Il proselitismo è il veleno più forte contro il cammino ecumenico.
Vuoi convincere a altro che sia cattolico? No, no, no.
C'è un grosso peccato contro l'ecumenismo.
Dari zalian didi codua ecumenismi cinardec.
Il proselitismo.
Amas quia proselitismi.
Mai si deve fare proselitismo con gli ortodossi.
Wagner's statements on Francis demonstrate that he's devoid of the Christian faith and is in fact in darkness. Those who call evil, such as Francis and his heretical activity, good, or good evil, as Wagner does, are an abomination to the Lord, Isaiah 5:20. Anyone who thinks that Francis is material for canonization in the face of the facts and doesn't recognize that Francis is in fact clearly wicked and heretical has no faith and is in fact evil. As another example of Wagner's attempt to justify evil, on March 12, 2024, he defended Francis's evil action of encouraging Muslims to celebrate Ramadan. In December of 2023, when Fiducia Supplicans was published, Christian Wagner posted this, quote, "Thank you, Pope Francis, for giving us such a wonderful document," end quote. That document, Fiducia Supplicans, which Wagner calls wonderful, endorses and encourages sodomy, fornication, and adultery indeed, by officially approving the, quote, "blessing of sodomitic couples and others who are living in sin." It contradicts Catholic teaching, which prohibits such blessings for people who manifest grave sin, as our material shows. Thus, Wagner is not only quite heretical on matters of faith, but he compromises the basic moral law by endorsing a notoriously evil document that encourages others to remain in sin. Now, in his debate review, Wagner claimed that every theologian teaches that there must be a declaratory sentence by the Church before a heretic loses authority or jurisdiction. A declaratory sentence is an official declaration by a Church official that someone has already committed a crime. Here's what Wagner claimed.
There needs to be a declaratory sentence from the Church for the heresy to be notorious, right? Or is there another way as well? There needs to be the declaratory sentence. That's something that all theologians are going to agree with, even St. Robert Bellarmine, as I'm going to show. So if the Church deposes by declarative sentence the Pope, yeah, I would concede that any layman can judge him because he's not the Pope. But one can judge one who has merely lost his office, quod se, denied. So before that deposition happens, you cannot do it. This is in accordance with St. Robert Bellarmine's teaching. And I'm taking it in argument too. But down here, I clarify. Further, in the Thomistic view, we may merely deny the major premise. In either case, the conclusion does not follow. In nobody's view does this follow. Nobody's view does this follow. If there hasn't been that declarative sentence.
Notice that he says it twice, and he's emphatic. Every theologian, he claims, holds that there must be a declaratory sentence before the authority is lost. Wagner is totally wrong. He has no idea what he's talking about, or he's just lying. There are many things that could be cited to demolish his false statements. In order to keep it brief, I will only quote a few, but they will be sufficient to prove the point. The first quote is from the prestigious multi-volume Commentary on the Code of Canon Law, Jus Canonicum, published by Father Peter Vidal before Vatican II. It includes the work of Father Wernz, and it's attributed to both. Here's the Latin of the passage, and we will provide a translation for Christian Wagner and others, because, among other things, in 2023 Wagner said the following about his lack of confidence in translating Latin.
But I'm not confident enough in my translation skills to like provide a translation for you guys or anything like that.
Wernz and Vidal state, quote, "Through notorious and openly publicized heresy, the Roman pontiff, should he fall into such, stands ipso facto deprived of his personal power of jurisdiction, even before any declaratory sentence of the Church. The fourth view, shared by Suarez, Cajetan, and others, contends that the Pope is not ipso facto deposed, even for manifest heresy, but that he can and ought to be deposed by at least a declaratory sentence of the crime, which in my judgment is an opinion that cannot be defended," says Bellarmine, end quote. Notice, Wernz and Vidal specifically teach that the heretic loses jurisdiction before any declaratory sentence, the very position Wagner said that nobody holds.
There needs to be a declaratory sentence from the church for the heresy to be notorious, right? Or is there another way as well? There needs to be the declaratory sentence. That's something that all theologians are going to agree with, even St. Robert Bellarmine, as I'm going to show. In nobody's view does this follow. Nobody's view does this follow if there hasn't been that declarative sentence.
Wagner's claim is, of course, nonsense, and it's an example of how heretics like him frequently just say things that are blatantly false. They make claims that they cannot back up. By contrast, in our material and videos, we prove our statements with direct citations. There's a vast difference between the two. What's also very interesting about this statement in Wernz and Vidal is that it teaches that people become notorious/manifest heretics without any declaration, which refutes what certain Novus Ordo liars say. And Wernz and Vidal identify the position that the heretic loses authority before even a declaratory sentence as the position held by St. Robert Bellarmine, which of course it was. Next, the theologian Matthew Coronata, 1950, quote, "If indeed such a situation would happen, he, the Roman pontiff, would, by divine law, fall from office without any sentence, indeed without even a declaratory one. He who openly professes heresy places himself outside the church," end quote. Notice, Coronata specifically teaches that the office would be lost without even a declaratory sentence, the very position Wagner said that no theologian taught. Wagner's claims about theologians are not credible, as we're proving. Next, Arthur Vermeersch and Joseph Krusen, 1949, quote, "At least according to the more common teaching, the Roman pontiff as a private teacher can fall into manifest heresy. Then, without any declaratory sentence, for the Supreme See is judged by no one, he would automatically, ipso facto, fall from a power which he who is no longer a member of the church is unable to possess," end quote. Again, we see that they teach that he would lose authority without any declaratory sentence. They describe this as the more common position. So as anyone can see, Wagner's claim was 100% false.
There needs to be a declaratory sentence from the church for the heresy to be notorious, right? Or is there another way as well? There needs to be the declaratory sentence. That's something that all theologians are going to agree with, even St. Robert Bellarmine, as I'm going to show. In nobody's view does this follow. Nobody's view does this follow if there hasn't been that declarative sentence.
It's an example of how false teachers deceive people. Further, the position of the theologians we just cited, who held that no declaratory sentence is needed for a heretic to lose authority, is not just a theological opinion. It's a reiteration and application of the infallible teaching of the Church, because popes have authoritatively taught that heretics automatically lose membership in the Church and that anyone who professes heresy notoriously cannot hold jurisdiction. See Leo XIII in Satis Cognitum, the Council of Florence, Pope St. Celestine in the case of Nestorius, etc. That position is therefore the official teaching of the Chair of St. Peter, not just the opinion of some theologians, and it doesn't matter that certain theologians failed to understand this properly. Also, even though these statements concern how a heretic would lose authority he previously held, the principle applies to a heretic who never had the authority to begin with, such as the Vatican II antipopes, for the principle shows that manifest heresy is incompatible with the possession of office in the Catholic Church, whether that person ever held the office or not. The position that a heretic loses jurisdiction before any declaratory sentence is also the teaching of St. Robert Bellarmine, contrary to Wagner and others, as Wernz and Vidal correctly understood. That's why Bellarmine taught that the manifest heretic loses authority ipso facto, which means by the fact itself, before any excommunication or judicial sentence. Ipso facto per se means before any declaratory sentence, as the canonist Charles Augustine points out. That means that the many quotes from theologians and saints about loss of membership and jurisdiction ipso facto refer to a loss of authority before even a declaratory sentence. That's also why Bellarmine taught that a heretical bishop or claimant to the papacy would lose authority from the moment he begins to preach heresy, which of course proves our whole point, for the preaching of heresy is before any declaration whatsoever. Yet, despite all of these facts, heretics like Wagner falsely claim that Bellarmine did not teach that a heretic would lose authority without a declaratory or other sentence. It's total nonsense. In this regard, one of the main false arguments Wagner made was his argument concerning a distinction between quod se and quod nos.
I think that they get St. Robert Bellarmine's position wrong. They fail to distinguish between what's called quod se and quod nos. So quod se means something in itself. So Bellarmine would say that in himself, the heretical pope has lost the office of the papacy. But quod nos, that is, according to us, the heretical pope has not lost this selfsame office of the papacy.
Sounds sophisticated, doesn't it? The problem is that it's pure sophistry, and it's sad that anyone is persuaded by such specious nonsense. Wagner's attempt to apply this distinction to Bellarmine's statements about manifest heretics, not occult heretics, is completely fallacious and represents an utter failure to understand Bellarmine's whole point about manifest heresy. To understand why, note that when Bellarmine refers to a manifest heretic in Book 2, Chapter 30 of On the Roman Pontiff, he refers to a heretic who is ipso facto deposed. As we saw in Warrants Vidal, and is obvious from Bellarmine's entire context, ipso facto there means that the person is deposed before any declaration. Bellarmine states, quote, "The fourth opinion is that of Cajetan, where he teaches that a manifestly heretical pope is not ipso facto deposed, but can and ought to be deposed by the Church. Now, in my judgment, such a position cannot be defended, for in the first place, it is proven from authority and reason that a manifest heretic is ipso facto deposed," end quote. As we can see, when Bellarmine refers to a manifest heretic in this chapter, and this is important, he's not referring to a declared heretic, as Wernz and Vidal correctly understood, because he's referring to someone who is deposed ipso facto and from the moment he preaches heresy, which is before any declaration. He's also obviously not referring to an occult heretic, for Bellarmine directly contrasts the manifest heretic with the occult heretic. Hence, by manifest heretic, Bellarmine means an undeclared person who preaches heresy publicly. Concerning that person, Bellarmine teaches that he has no union with the Church, internally or externally. Quote, "The foundation of this position, that is the fifth position, about the manifest heretic who is ipso facto deposed, is that the manifest heretic in no way is a member of the Church, that is, neither in soul nor in body, neither by internal union nor external union," end quote. Notice, according to Bellarmine, this person has no external union with the Church. Herein, people should recognize how Wagner has seriously erred. So according to Bellarmine, the manifest heretic prior to any declaration has no authority quod nos in the sight of the Church. For someone who has no external union with the Church, as he says, has no authority over the faithful. And the entire context shows that Bellarmine means that the manifest heretic retains no authority quod nos in the sight of us or the Church. See, for example, Bellarmine's statements on Pope St. Celestine about Nestorius's loss of authority over others, etc. This is obvious to anyone who reads this section, honestly. Yet Wagner, the sophist, claims that these statements of Bellarmine about the manifest heretic losing authority to excommunicate, having no external union with the Church, being deposed ipso facto, don't refer to a loss of authority quod nos in regard to us, but only to a loss of authority quod se in regard to himself.
Think that they get St. Robert Bellarmine's position wrong. They fail to distinguish between what's called quod se and quod nos. So quod se means something in itself. So Bellarmine would say that in himself, the heretical pope has lost the office of the papacy. But quod nos, that is, according to us, the heretical pope has not lost this selfsame office of the papacy.
It's preposterous nonsense, as anyone should be able to see, because Bellarmine's whole point is that the manifest heretic has no authority externally, meaning quod nos, that is, in the sight of us or the Church. Wagner has thus failed to understand and, in fact, perverted Bellarmine's whole point about manifest heresy. And now that we've refuted and exposed his nonsense on this point, Wagner cannot honestly claim that he was only referring to Bellarmine's statements about occult heretics, which he might try dishonestly in desperation, because Wagner directly applied this quod nos quod se distinction to Bellarmine's statements about the manifest heretic. And Wagner is attempting to address citations we brought forward from Bellarmine about a manifest heretic, not Bellarmine's statements about occult heretics. So Wagner's argument on this point is a complete failure and is in fact nothing more than specious nonsense. Next, Wagner compounds his grave errors by using false translations of St. Robert Bellarmine and misunderstanding more passages. First, he references Bellarmine's statement from Book 1, Chapter 21 on councils to argue that the legitimate judgment of a council is required for a heretic to lose authority.
The third condition is unjust, because the Roman pontiff cannot be deprived of his right to summon councils and preside over them, in whose possession this right has already been for 1,500 years, unless you were first convicted by the legitimate judgment of a council and is not the supreme pontiff. So the only way this is going to happen is if there is a legitimate judgment of a council.
But this argument fails completely. First, Wagner uses a false translation. Wagner is relying on Ryan Grant's English translation of Bellarmine, which contains a number of significant errors. Here's the Latin text of the passage. The Latin does not say council. The word council was erroneously added by Ryan Grant. Rather, Bellarmine simply refers to a legitimate judgment, not the judgment of a council, and that's a very significant difference because according to Bellarmine, the manifest heretic is deposed by his own judgment, proprio judicio. The heretic brings down a legitimate judgment against himself. Bellarmine states, quote, "Heretics, however, even before an excommunication, are outside the church and deprived of all jurisdiction, for they are condemned by their own judgment, as the apostle teaches in Titus 3. In other words, they have been cut off from the body of the church without excommunication, as Jerome explains." End quote. As we can see in Bellarmine's theology, the manifest heretic, before he has been declared by anyone else, is condemned by a legitimate judgment, his own. That's Bellarmine's point about the manifest heretic. That's his understanding of the matter. Thus, the false translation used by Wagner, which adds the word council when it's not there, significantly alters the meaning of Bellarmine's statement.
So the only way this is going to happen is if there is a legitimate judgment of a council.
After using this false translation, Wagner goes on to push his false conclusion that the judgment of a council is required for the heretic to lose authority when the text doesn't say that at all, and that would contradict what Bellarmine says in the same book. It's truly a disaster.
The third condition is unjust, because the Roman pontiff cannot be deprived of his right to summon councils and preside over them, in whose possession this right has already been for 1,500 years, unless you were first convicted by the legitimate judgment of a council and is not the supreme pontiff. So the only way this is going to happen is if there is a legitimate judgment of a council.
Besides the mistranslation, which we just refuted, Wagner's argument from this passage is fallacious because Book 1, Chapter 21 on councils has nothing to do with automatic loss of office for heresy. The chapter is about the procedure that should be followed to hold a council in the absence of the man who claims to be the Pope. Yes, in that case, it would be fitting for those who are going to hold a council without the man who purports to be the Pope to issue a declaration explaining why they are holding the council without him, namely that he's not the Pope. That does not mean that the man held authority as Pope until such a judgment by others. Not at all. Indeed, Bellarmine is very clear in a number of places, including in the same book, that no one can judge a Pope while he's still considered the Pope, as we will see in the citation from Book 1, Chapter 10 on councils. So this passage is completely misapplied by Novus Ordo heretics like Wagner, in addition to being mistranslated. If Bellarmine had intended to teach that the declaration of a council were required for a heretic to lose office, he would have simply stated that in Book 2, Chapter 30 of On the Roman Pontiff, where he directly addresses the issue of loss of office. But he says nothing about that at all. On the contrary, he teaches that the loss of authorities before any excommunication or judicial sentence, and when the heretic begins to preach the heresy. Next, Wagner uses another false translation to form the same false conclusion about the judgment of a council. This time he's blatantly misquoting Book 1, Chapter 9 on councils. Wagner states,
"As is related in the Eighth Council, general councils ought to impose judgment on controversies arising in regard to the Roman pontiff. General councils, albeit not rashly."
But that translation, again from Ryan Grant, is blatantly false, even worse than the other mistranslation Wagner used. And this is not nitpicking a translation. It's simply a blatantly inaccurate translation that significantly alters the meaning of the passage. We exposed and refuted it in our video on Taylor Marshall. I will quote that section here.
But there needs to be a formal process of an admonishment, and then it leads to a general council and to a trial. Let me continue reading on St. Robert Bellarmine on this process.
Marshall's false conclusion on this matter is connected to a mistranslation of St. Robert Bellarmine's work on councils, Book 1, Chapter 9, which he uses. Here's what Marshall claims St. Robert Bellarmine teaches.
And to a trial. Let me continue reading on St. Robert Bellarmine on this process. As it is related in the Eighth Council, general councils ought to impose judgment on controversies arising in regard to the Roman pontiff, albeit not rashly.
Marshall has Bellarmine saying, quote, "General councils ought to impose judgment on controversies arising in regard to the Roman pontiff, albeit not rashly," end quote. But that's not what Bellarmine taught at all. Marshall has inaccurate information. He's using a mistranslation of Bellarmine published by Ryan Grant.
Of course, St. John Paul II
Ryan Grant's translation of this passage is wrong, and it significantly alters Bellarmine's meaning. Here's the Latin text of what Bellarmine actually wrote in Book 1, Chapter 9 on Councils. The sentence beginning with debent is what we are focused on here. Bellarmine says, debent generalia concilia conoscere. That means general councils ought to become acquainted with or to learn about. It doesn't mean general councils ought to impose judgment. Here's a proper translation of the full sentence, quote, general councils should become acquainted with controversies that have sprung up around the Roman pontiff, but nevertheless not audaciously pass sentence against him, end quote. The key word that was mistranslated by Ryan Grant, a mistranslation used by Taylor Marshall and many others, is conoscere. Conoscere does not mean to impose judgment. It means to become acquainted with, to learn about, or to get to know. Conoscere is cognate with words like cognition or cognizant, which refer to having knowledge about something or being aware of something. Conoscere in this passage definitely does not mean to impose judgment. So, Grant's translation, which is used by Marshall, is wrong. And it's a significant mistake since this mistranslation of Bellarmine has been repeated by many defenders of the Vatican II antipopes and on various websites. If Bellarmine had taught what Marshall says, then he would have been teaching the error of conciliarism, that a general council can and even should issue authoritative judgments against a reigning pope, but that's a false doctrine and it's not what Bellarmine taught. In addition to mistranslating the first part of this key sentence, Ryan Grant's translation upon which Taylor Marshall relies gets the end of it wrong as well. Bellarmine concludes the sentence by saying, quote, non tamen audacter in eum sententiam ferre, end quote. That means, but nevertheless, not audaciously pass sentence against him, end quote. Bellarmine is clear. While general counsel should become acquainted with or learn about controversies concerning the Roman pontiff, nevertheless they should not pass a sentence against him, because no one has any authority, and that includes a council, to act against a pope while he's still considered the pope. To say otherwise denies the church's teaching that the first seat is judged by no one, a teaching that's contradicted by Marshall's false position. So the mistranslation that Marshall and others use, which comes from Ryan Grant, turns Bellarmine into a conciliarist. It has Bellarmine teaching that councils should impose judgment upon someone who is considered a Roman pontiff, when that is not what Bellarmine taught. Bellarmine does teach that sentences, depositions, punishments, etc. can be brought against a heretic who has already ceased to be pope through his own actions. Hence, in this chapter, which is not about loss of office per se, but about why general councils might be called, Bellarmine says that in the case in which a pope were considered suspect of heresy, a general council can be called to depose him if he were found to be a heretic, deposition here referring to initiating the process for physical removal and leveling additional punishments. That can be done if it's found that such a person has already lost papal authority due to the fact that he was a heretic. Bellarmine is not saying that someone is considered the pope or has jurisdiction until a council makes a declaration or deposes him. No. Bellarmine is very clear that no one can issue any authoritative judgment, much less a deposition, against one who is still considered the pope. Hence, in the very next chapter, Book 1, Chapter 10 on Councils, Bellarmine states, quote, for on account of suspicions concerning the doctrine and life of the pontiffs, there were never convened any councils except provincial or national. Neither does it seem truly necessary for a major council to be gathered for this reason, for as long as he is truly pontiff, he cannot be judged by any council, unless perhaps he himself grants power to the council for examining his own case and of passing a discretionary sentence, not nevertheless a coercive sentence, end quote. Here Bellarmine is very clear, and this is in the very chapter after the one we were discussing. He says, nam dum est vere pontifex, which means, for as long as he is truly pontiff, he cannot be judged by any council. Bellarmine says this about someone who is suspect in doctrine. So even when the man is suspect in doctrine, a general council cannot judge him. This is the opposite of what the false traditionalists such as Marshall want you to believe. They say that he is to be considered the pope until he is judged by the council or by the cardinals. No, Bellarmine teaches that so long as he is considered the pope, he cannot be judged by a council or by anyone. The council can only act against someone who has already lost papal authority in the sight of the church through his preaching of heresy, because in that case they are not judging, deposing, and punishing a pope, but rather a heretic who is not the pope. Since a general council can only judge someone who has already ceased to be pope through himself and through his own actions, that means that the man loses authority quorum ecclesia, that is in the sight of the church, regardless of whether a general council or cardinals recognize it. Yes, it's great if an imperfect council or cardinals did recognize it, but the man loses authority on account of manifest heresy regardless of whether they recognize it or not. By the way, Bellarmine's statement here that a pope can grant power to a council to issue a discretionary sentence simply means that a pope could theoretically commission a council to issue a report on his case that has no binding authority. That's why he says that the council cannot issue any coercive sentence so long as the man is truly pontiff. Some extremely dishonest defenders of the Vatican II antipopes, who are really just liars, twist this reference like they pervert so many other things. They claim that Bellarmine's reference to a discretionary sentence means that some kind of preliminary declaration must be issued by a council against a pope who is suspect. But as any literate and honest person can see, the passage doesn't teach that at all. A discretionary, non-coercive sentence which the pope can allow the council to issue is just a report that a pope can authorize a council to make, which the pope can then reject. That's why it's not coercive. There are a few other passages from Bellarmine that false traditionalists and defenders of the antipopes misuse, but we can perhaps cover those in a different video. So as we can see, Wagner relied on a false translation, making the same mistake as Marshall, to promote his false understanding of Bellarmine, that a council ought to impose judgment on the Roman pontiff, when in fact Bellarmine taught precisely the opposite, namely that while the man is considered the pope, no council can judge him. Wagner's comments on this are truly the disastrous product of a false teacher who doesn't know what he's talking about. The facts that we've covered in this video sufficiently refute Wagner's errors and his false teaching on this matter. Since his arguments are so poor, as we've shown, Wagner frequently tries to prop them up with lies and inflammatory rhetoric. There are many other things we could cover in refutation of Wagner's false claims, heretical positions, and bad arguments. But that's all for this video.